The views and opinions expressed on Wrestling Wind Down are those of the host and do not necessarily reflect the official policy or position of any other agency, organization, employer, or company. What's up, guys? It's Lo, and you are tuned in to Wrestling Wind Down, a female-founded and hosted podcast dedicated to professional wrestling and our favorite adult beverage. We are coming at you with episode 2, a part of our 3-part series spotlighting the women of the WWE in honor of the 3rd anniversary of the first ever all-women's pay-per-view, Evolution. We are talking all about the WWE Divas era in this episode, and I am honored to be joined by Jake Smith of the Golden Era podcast, as well as Dia Shin of Ring the Bell, to talk about this historic era. We hear a lot from the women fans what they thought about the Divas and how they felt about this specific time, but I thought it was extremely important to bring members of the LGBTQ community in on the show to talk about what this specific moment in WWE history meant to them. We spill the wine on everything WWE Diva related, including the trailblazers of this era like Chyna, Jazz, Jacqueline, Trish Stratus, Lita, Victoria, Melina, Gail Kim, and many more, as well as the issues that the women faced during this time, including being over-sexualized, being involved in lingerie matches, themed matches, and the lack of storyline development during this time. And we cannot forget about the synonymous titles that the women had, the WWF and the WWE Championship, as well as that butterfly WWE Divas title. So grab your glass of wine. We're going in for the 3 count. As I mentioned in the intro, I have 2 amazing individuals here, Jake Smith and Dia Shin, to chat all about the WWE Divas era. How are you guys doing?
Doing so good. How are you?
I am great and so excited to chat with you all. Let's talk about your guys' platforms. Jake, you are one half of the Golden Era podcast. Can you tell us a little bit about the platform?
Yeah, for sure. So the Golden Era podcast is kind of a culmination of like everything I've been pretty much obsessed with over the years. I've been involved with a lot of different wrestling media for the last almost 10 years now. And this is something that was like a passion project of ours that I really always wanted to do. It started off with myself and Chris Riddle, and who I've done many podcasts with. And we were originally going like a couple of moments at a time through the Ruthless Aggression era, or as we call it, the Golden Era, or as Trish Stratus and a few of the other girls call it, the Golden Era of the women's wrestling division. And Joey and I decided to turn this into something totally different. And we go week by week now and really get into the nitty gritty. So like, you know, the good and the bad, you know, it was a weird time of women's wrestling. But we love to talk about it. So we really focus on that. We also talk a little bit about women's action figures in there, because we actually were going to start a podcast about that, but I was like, you know what, let's just make it a segment on the show. And it's turned into an animal of itself. If you've ever listened to it, we always have a topic and then end up talking about something else.
DS, you are the host of Ring the Bell. Can you tell us about your platform?
Yes, I am the host of Ring the Bell. We do everything women's wrestling. We do news coverage, weekly recap, pay-per-view recap, interviews. You know, we just do fun stuff with wrestling because we love women's wrestling.
When did you all start watching professional wrestling?
So I started watching wrestling back in like, probably like 1998-ish, but it was like more my brothers like really getting into it at first. And I really didn't have an interest. I was like, okay, they're watching this. It's fine. I remember like something with like the first wrestling memory I have was something with like Kane and the Undertaker at someone's house. I don't know. But so I was like, whatever. But then I really started to get invested the night Chyna won the Corporate Rumble, because it was on and I was like, oh my God, a girl's in this? Awesome. And I was like, immediately hooked. And I was like, oh, what's she gonna do next week? I'm a really big fan. So I honestly started watching because of Chyna, and then like got really into Sable, and then, you know, just got into like the rest of the women. And I had no interest in the men's stuff. It was there. But I was just like, okay, when are the girls gonna be on? And whether it was like 2 minutes or anything, like I was just so excited every week to see what the women were gonna do on the show. So yeah, so now we're going on like a 21-year love affair with 22-year love affair with professional wrestling.
I started around 2000 or 2001. And then I think the first women that I remember seeing were like Stephanie and Lita, I think. But it's Trish that I like really, I was very stratified with what I saw. Then I got really hooked and then started watching.
Many people remember the Divas era as a time when women were over-sexualized. Women were involved in lingerie matches, and commentators made sexual or inappropriate comments about the female talent. How did you feel as a fan watching this?
I think my answer will be twofold. So, you know, growing up in Korea, as a fan, as a gay fan watching this, I was like very hooked into it because the woman in WWE, they were kicking ass. They were beautiful. They're sexy, and they were unapologetic about who they are. And I think what really stuck to me is that how that was so different from social norm, the gender norms, right? So especially in Korea, where there's not many image of what women should be was shown on TV. I think what WWE women showed were honestly like mind blowing to me, and that's what I connected with them so much. So as a fan, I always thought it was very empowering. I think that also seems like that's why a lot of LGBTQ community members are really a big fan of WWE Divas and WWE Women. But the second part of the question is something that I've been like thinking a lot last 2-3 years. I was able to talk to a lot of the women that was actually in the Divas division back in the days, and also a lot of indie wrestlers that were wrestling in the indie scene, and they were affected by what WWE was booking in the mainstream TV. And their experience wasn't necessarily positive. You know, a lot of the women like Gail Kim, Lita, Trish, when I was talking to them about those gimmick matches, they were kind of, you know, they had to do it. It was, you know, just part of their job. They weren't necessarily enjoying it. And a lot of the women that were in the indie scene, because WWE, the biggest company in the industry, was portraying women just in a certain way, they also was limited into certain ways of wrestling and presenting themselves on the indie scene. So I think there is definitely negative aspects to it for sure. And I think what's happening right now is it's a pendulum, and we're finding the balance, because, you know, femininity is not like that. Owning the femininity, sexiness is not bad. But I think we're just finding that balance of finding that both the equality and then, you know, owning your sexiness.
Kind of like a weird perspective on it. I hated the commentary. We actually do like a creepy Jerry Lawler comment of the week on our podcast, and they're gross. And I'm mortified. But
What's the worst?
On the other hand, anything with Stacey Keibler. But on the other hand, see, so part of me, I think my perspective is like a little weird, because as a gay man, I really love anything that's like camp and like over the top and just like crazy and ridiculous. And that's what a lot of like the lingerie and bikini contests and all that kind of stuff was. And I won't lie, I really enjoyed a lot of them. I thought Terry Runnels especially was like a queen in these kinds of matches. Like, she sold that shit. Like, get thrown across the ring, awesome. I know she hated to wrestle, loved her in matches. And especially like the Invasion bra and panties match with Trish and Lita versus Stacy and Tori. I think that's an iconic match. So I think there's a lot of these matches that were actually really a lot more athletic than they should have been, considering what they were. Honestly, they were for like the hetero male audience. So I wasn't invested in these matches the same way the heteros were. Like, for me, I was like, okay, I love it. But for me, it was also like, I always resonated with like a badass woman who kicked men's asses. Like, I was always Xenia on a top when I played GoldenEye, Pink Ranger, Sindel. Like, I loved like a sexy, badass woman. And for me, sometimes these matches kind of played into that. And I was like, okay, it's like a badass girl who's owning her sexuality and like kicking ass. Granted, the matches could have taken place, I think, without that underlying layer. And I think it does take away a lot of them these matches being looked at as professional. But yeah, it's tough. But there were some, like anytime there was like water or like an edible substance involved though, I was not here for that. Like,
really?
No.
I love Thanksgiving food fight match between Stacey and Trish.
When it started, I don't know. It's like, because it didn't look like gravy. It looked like poop water. Like, it did not look like gravy. Like, I was like, this is sanitation questionable. So, but I understood why they were there. I'm glad we've evolved past that, but I don't hate it entirely. I get its purpose, and I think some of the matches were a lot more athletic than people give them credit for.
The thing is, we really need to give credit to the women from the era, because like mm-hmm. Trish talk about it all the time, they had to do these mud match, and then in that limited situation, they had to think of athletic ways, how to entertain in a sports way. They came up with all these cool ways to really be entertaining. Also, like whole Dawn Marie and Miss Jackie storyline, Tori Wilson, Dawn Marie storyline, they're not necessarily like those athletic matches, but the storyline that came out of it, so good, so good. So they found ways to entertain us. That's a props for them.
Not just like the athleticism of the matches, but like they had to find athletic and innovative ways to like rip off the clothes a lot of the times too, which some of them I thought was like, I wouldn't have thought of doing that. That's so smart. Like, I love a sunset flip into a pants pull down. So.
The women during this time, especially in the late 2000s, received very minimal time on television and lack of storyline development. Did you ever lose hope based on how the divas were treated and how they were being presented on television?
I don't know about hope. I had times when I was like bored and like I checked out. To be completely honest, I think I kind of checked out during like early 2010, like maybe like 2011 for a little bit. But that's why I am so thankful of what Jake did and Jake went and what Chris did and Aaron did back in Diva Dirt days, because they were holding it tight and they were railing up all the Diva fans to start all these like hashtag give Divas a chance and all that stuff. And that's the power of all the Diva fans, that they were there for them and they never lost hope on WWE Divas. So Jake, you did great.
I was a very big fan of Diva Dirt, by the way, when I first started watching.
Yes, that was my website. There's the articles who were on it.
Yeah, it was exhausting. Because when we were doing it, like there wasn't really like anyone else. And like, we honestly were like looked down on like by other things. Yeah. I went to like media weekend one time for WrestleMania and they're like, so you just want to talk to the girls? And I'm like, yeah. So, but what I love now though, is I love seeing all the different platforms and how many women's wrestling outlets there are. Like both of you guys are doing your own thing. There's so many other people doing it now. And I love seeing all these women's wrestling fans now like rising up and using their talents to keep the women's interest going and like really supporting the women. And it's honestly so badass and awesome to see. And it makes me feel like what we did at Diva Dirt wasn't like for nothing, you know? Mm-hmm. So like I spent many hours working on craft there. So I was like, does anyone care? Like, does anyone care that I'm ranking Tori Wilson's outfits right now?
I don't care, Beck and Korea. As a writer for a website, did you ever lose hope when you were watching how these women were being portrayed on TV and you had to write about it?
So for me, when I really, really got invested in the women's division, I felt like there were consistent storylines going on for a lot of the women in like the early 2000s. Like I knew what each woman was about. I knew what their shtick is. I knew what colors they wore that like were their thing. You knew who everyone was. You knew what their storylines were. And then as we got into like the later 2000s, like I'd say maybe after the, maybe 2004 when they started bringing in all the Diva Search girls. And they're like, okay, so we have all these girls who don't really know how to wrestle yet and we don't really know what to do with them yet. So like Michelle McCool, you're a yoga instructor. Like Candace, you do makeup. Like, it's just like, they don't know what the hell to do with all these girls. Right. So they're like, you know, throwing them into these storylines that don't make sense. And they're also at the same time training to wrestle. You know, like 2006 SmackDown, I struggled a little bit. Like when it was like, Michelle, Crystal, and like Ashley and Jillian, because like Jillian was the only one who was like a legitimate wrestler at that point, and the girls picked it up eventually. But like, you know, it was a little rough at first. And then for me, the hardest time was beginning of 2011 when Natty dropped the title randomly to Eve. I was like, what's happening here? I love Eve, but it was so out of left field that I was like, what's going on? But then they didn't even really do anything with her as champion. She wasn't involved in storyline. She didn't have a WrestleMania match. Like, I didn't feel like hopeful for the Divas division again until probably when Kelly won the title. Because I was like, okay, everyone loves Kelly. Like, I was like, and Kelly was like the girl, she was there for like 5 years at that point. You're like, she's got to be champion at some time. People want it. She was the top girl, regardless of if she was in the storyline or not. So when she won it and then like Beth got involved again, I got interested again. And then I'd say like, honestly, the lowest point was 2013 too. WrestleMania time. And honestly, up until maybe, I don't know, maybe even 2014, because I felt like WWE really struggled with how to incorporate Total Divas into their world and how to make this work. I mean, like, obviously, like, so like 2013, they were starting to film Total Divas around WrestleMania. And I'm friendly with Celeste, who is Caitlin. And she's like, yeah, honestly, we didn't even know they were filming it. Like, it was like a secret. Like that it was like even going on, so like they didn't want all the girls to know, so they weren't really using her, and she was the champion. I was like how come like you didn't accompany, like I thought like for sure they'd maybe make it a six person tag because right. She had the little thing with AJ, or like even run out, but they nothing. That AJ was the only woman on the entire WrestleMania 29 show, and I was there and I was very mad. So and it was cold. So they like that time period though, it was just very tough. And as they tried to make Total Divas work, like all the girls were faces, Survivor Series was confusing. It was just, I felt like they didn't know what to do and how to make Total Divas a part of the program. And I felt like 2014, they started to find their footing, but it was a tough transitional time as a fan and a writer.
There were many standouts during this Attitude Era and Divas Era of WWE who proved that they weren't just another pretty face. You guys mentioned a couple of them. You had Chyna, Jacqueline, Jazz, Gail Kim, Trish Stratus, Lita, Victoria, and a handful of others. Do you think that these women were ahead of their time? And how would they fare in today's WWE women's landscape?
I think there's so many women from that time period who would have excelled now. And like, not even just like the main girls. Like, I think some of the pretty girls could have done well. Like, I would have been really interested to see like Tori like do her thing now, because like she was getting, Dawn Marie would have been so fun now. But like Beth Phoenix, who I still think we have a possibility of seeing in there eventually. Again, well, we did see her briefly in like 2019, but I'd love to see her like get a singles run at some point. Her Rumble appearance last year was awesome. But like Beth, Victoria, in 2002, like she, I think she's really responsible for really elevating a lot of the extreme factor of the women's division, because the stuff her and Trish were doing was so badass. Of course, everyone would love to see Trish do more. Lita, I'd love to see come back. Molly. But I think those women, what I think is so cool is hearing today's crop of talent talk about the women who inspired them from that generation. Like, I love the fact that Bayley is such a big Ivory fan, because I'm like, holy shit. I was like, I love Ivory. And like, no one ever talks about Ivory. I was like, she deserves her flowers. Like, so it's just honestly, that entire group of women, like the Raw roster, especially from like 2002 to like 2004, had so much talent. And if they were given the same opportunities the women today are given to put on the quality matches, I think it really could have started the women's revolution earlier than the last couple of years.
100%.
Right. I think when that question was put to test was definitely Trish versus Charlotte on SummerSlam. Cause you know, Trish represented the whole diva era, and Charlotte is like the icon of the modern day, the current day women. And Trish did so well, and she was retired for how long? So I think that is like one example of how the women from the back in the days proved that they can definitely hang in with their with the current crop of girls. And of course, Mickie James, who came back and she had that takeover match which was so good. Mm-hmm. I think women that are coming back is keep proving that they can hang in with the girls right now. Of course, Gail Kim, her match with Tessa was absolutely amazing. So I think it's women are proving it.
How did you feel about the women being referred to as divas? Did you like it? Did it rub you the wrong way?
I liked it. I'm a diva stan. I don't know. This question is so difficult because I think the both sides are correct. I always kind of look at how knockouts take care of it, though. Like, knockouts are keeping their title, and they love it. I think it's mostly, I think it's not specifically what they're called, but how WWE, the management, treated Divas Division differently. I think that's what's the issue. You know, Knockouts Division, they treat Knockouts like they are the crown jewel of their product.
Right.
So all the Knockouts love that they're Knockouts. They love that they're called Knockouts. But the Divas, because of how they were treated and booked, I think there's negative connotations towards them. I think that's what happened. But I think the Diva term itself, I'm proud of it. I'm happy for it.
Love, love, and will always love the term diva. In real life, like, I'm in marketing, and it's marketing gold. Like, when it came out, like, I remember, like, those VH1 diva specials were, like, really big. So it made sense. I get it. Smart marketing. Love it. Give the girls their own thing. It makes sense. And they were, like, kind of, like, pick and choose when they would use it. Like, when it first came out, they're like, ooh, the Divas magazine. Like, but then, like, you know, besides that, it was still the women's title, still this, that, and the other. And then they incorporated it more. And I love it. But like Dina says, it's really more of a portrayal of how they were presented then. And arguably, I think there's still representation of women as, like, diva era kind of matches today, where they're like, look at the Queen of the Ring tournament. Like, every match was, like, more of a, like, divas era, like, kind of match. But I think a lot of the other, I think there's a lot of positives that are overlooked from the divas era just because of the name. But I don't, personally, I don't think there's anything bad about it. I do like that when I hear some of the former wrestlers talk about that they loved it. Like, I know Kelly loved it. I know Maurice loved it. I don't think there's anything wrong with, like, in my wedding, the girls were called divas. Like, so.
Oh, like, I love that.
I love the term diva. Like, and, like, my girlfriends, like, they don't keep up with the product. So, like, they're not wrestling fans, but, like, they still think of the girls as, like, oh, the divas, like, oh, this girl's a diva and stuff like that. And I'm like, I honestly, oh, well, they don't call them that anymore. But, like, in my heart, there's so many divas. But I love the term. I think it's great.
I see DS. He has his title belt in the background. And that's what we're moving to next.
This one?
So WWE Incorporated the infamous butterfly belt, referred to as the Divas Championship. And I remember when it came out, people were like, I hate this belt. It's so childish. Why is it there? I love the appearance of the belt. Obviously, you guys love the appearance of the belt if you have a replica of it. What were your thoughts when it was incorporated? And how did you feel about the naysayers that felt a certain way about the belt?
So I remember when they announced it, I was so excited because the poor women of SmackDown had nothing to fight for for years. I mean, like, can you imagine if there was a title at play and, like, Tori Wilson and Dawn Marie, Shaniqua would have been champion. Like, there would have been so many different layers that they could have had for the women on SmackDown involving a title. So they announced, I remember the Divas title tournament, and I remember when they showed the belt, I loved it right away. I was like, ooh, it's pink. I feel like almost.
I feel how, seen.
Yeah, yes. I was like, I loved how feminine it was because femininity is something that is like a no-no, I feel like, in wrestling for men and women. And like sexuality, different. But like to be feminine and like embrace that side of you is like, I feel like weird for them. So I think that's why a lot of wrestling fans hate it, because a lot of wrestling fans honestly are like the hetero audience and they're like, oh, it's trashy. And I'm like, I was like, okay, you're not okay with this, but you love like the penny tag team titles. You love like the AEW, like bejeweled, like just like, okay, stop it. They don't on any of those titles. Though I think that's when the Spinner title was around still. During that time. Yeah. And like, they're like, that title is cool. I'm like, but it's got a butterfly. So that's the problem. And I know not all the women love the belt. I personally thought it was great. People need to remember at the end of the day, WWE is really honestly a kid's product. And it's selling merch, selling stuff for kids. Little girls will love this. It makes sense. Like, I get it. Like, when we were doing we gave everyone in our wedding belts too. And not just because divas, I like gave them the options too. And they, all the girls were like, I want the pink one. I want the divas one. I'm like, yeah, I get it. Honestly, I prefer it to the titles today. I think the titles today have no personality. I think it's just like, at first I was like, okay, fine, it's cool. But now I'm like, all right, it's like, they're the same belt. One is red, one is blue. It's just, I miss unique title designs personally. And I really love this belt. And I get not everyone loves it, but I think there's a lot of great matches that took place over it that I think are overlooked just because of the design, unfortunately.
I mean, you're asking two gay guys. I feel like I love the design too, but I also was playing with Barbies growing up. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Like,
I love the pink. As you can see, we love pink. we love pink. But also at the same time, I can understand why a lot of the women don't necessarily align themselves with this branding and design. Like, I can understand that. So, and I think it was just made worse with how, again, the Divas Championship was booked, you know, with the extreme makeover matches, just not enough time given. If they were able to kick ass, I think it would have been fine. But I do think it has a lot more character than any of the current titles. And I like the classic women's title too, that this had so much prestige and character to it.
Do you think a belt like the Divas title, how do you think it would be perceived today if WWE decided to debut it?
I really want it back in almost like a million-dollar title sense. Like, I'd love if like one of the more diva-esque wrestlers like Carmella or like someone like that brought it back. When Emma was doing the Emelina thing and they were like, oh, she's supposed to be like a diva character, I'm like, have her come out with the Divas title. Genius. I would love it back. Personally, I don't see that realistically happening just now that they've kind of branded diva as like almost like a taboo negative term, which is so to like all the women of that era. But I'd love to see it back. I don't think it would be perceived well by the fans. Unfortunately, I think a lot of fans overlook a lot of the positives of that time and just want to focus on like, oh, they were the trashy skanks and like, oh, the bikinis and boobs. Like, I don't want to see wrestling. Like, but you're still going to go to the bathroom during the women's match anyway, so whatever. Like,
well, I think that's a really good idea, Jake. I realistically, that being, if it is brought up, that being used as like a gimmick championship, like $1 million, I think that would be great, actually. That's a great idea.
DS, you mentioned you love that classic WWE Women's Championship belt, and I even remember having a replica myself that I would bring to the shows. Many people respected that belt more than the Divas Championship. Why do you think it is? Do you think it has to do with the design, the prestige behind it, or both, or maybe something else?
I think it's both. I mean, this one, because the Divas Championship was was introduced as like an alternate, but the Women's Championship, that one has the lineage of, it took the lineage of all the belts that came before. It also has prestige of all the title holders. So I think there's just a lot more to just, like the history is there with it. So to a point where when Divas Championship unified the Women's Championship, that was seen as like the history being destroyed, right?
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people like have like feelings just because towards the end of its lineage, the women's title was honestly really disrespected. They split it in half, you know, like they retired it, which didn't need to happen. There were so many women on the roster at that point. Like they didn't need to drop one of the belts. But I think the problem for me though is I think unfortunately the women's title still has a lot of like negative behind it that like the Divas title could also be looked at. Like some of the title changes were like literally like ripping clothes off too.
Right.
Like the cat won it in a pool. Deborah won it because she got her clothes ripped off. It's just like, you know, like it wasn't always perceived the best either. You know, like obviously like Moolah's history with it too is not great. There's a lot of negative. I think just because it looks like championship one and two, it was called the women's title. I definitely think the women probably would have preferred going for the women's championship. I remember even when like some girls won the Divas title, like I remember Eve winning and being like coming for the women's championship, the big one next. And I'm like, okay. So like, I was like, this is seen as like the secondary title to the women's championship, which I get. So I think, you know, when history was erased or whatever, people were upset about that. And I can understand that. And I can understand why people were like, for me, they're on the same playing field. I think they're both great championships with a great history.
Are you glad to see that the Divas era is a thing of the past?
I'm glad that the way that it was booked was the past, for sure.
Is it? Like
I
said,
I think so. I think the women from back in the days, from like Michelle McCool, Melina, they were so talented. I think they should all be so respected. But the way they were booked was just so disrespectful, and they were not given the fair chance.
Agreed.
Things I miss and things I don't miss. One thing I miss that might be a little controversial is I think there was somewhat better storytelling in the Divas era. I knew a lot of the times why people were feuding and fighting. I feel like today the match quality and the length of matches is a lot better overall. But a lot of the times I'm like, wait, why are they feuding? Wait, why is this person fighting this person? Wait, I don't understand. Like, I was like, they were just feuding with this other person. Wait, what's going on? The Divas era, like, you knew why, like Melina and Michelle were feuding. They feuded for months. Like, you knew why, like, Beth and Nikki were feuding. Like, you knew what was going on and what was kind of, like, the storyline and how we got here to this point a lot of times. Like, one of my favorite things, I mean, like, granted, she's not my favorite now, but I loved Candace Michelle's come up. I was so into her chase for the title and watching her improve and watching her little feud with Melina. It was just fun to watch. And I felt like, you know, like she was bringing a lot of the elements Trish was bringing on in her early days where, you know, like Trish was a model turned wrestler. And I loved watching that story progression. And now I don't think we have that, you know, like where we're not watching anyone really like come up, like, because the momentum is just stopped. Like Liv Morgan, I feel like is maybe the closest we have to that. But then it's been years now. Like we should have seen the payoff at this point. So I do miss those aspects in the storytelling of the Divas era.
What about you, Diaz? I know you've been a longtime fan as well. Do you miss that storytelling that we had back in the day?
I don't know. I mean, I definitely see what you're talking about, Jake. I mean, there were definitely a lot of very creative storyline, like stuff that we've seen from like Tori and Dawn, Mickey James, Trish Stratus, yes. Lita, Trish Stratus. Those stuff like wouldn't happen in nowadays.
Well, it's interesting because remember when before Chelsea Green was let go, it seemed like she was almost about to reenact that storyline with Trish Stratus and Mickey. So that would have been a play on something that happened years ago in the forefront of WWE now. I'm almost wondering how something like that would have worked out. I mean, obviously the longtime fans would have loved it. They would have felt that nostalgia, but the newer fans who aren't familiar with that storyline, how would they feel with something like that?
And incorporating the social media aspect and all the different things now would have been so cool. One thing I really love, I will be honest, my favorite thing right now with WWE is Naomi and Sonya, because it is, I feel like, the only actual feud. Becky and Bianca sort of have a feud too, but to be honest, the only thing I can really think of is like, okay, Becky won the title from her quick, but I'm like still like trying to beat Sasha's aspect in it I can get too. And like that's sort of a feud, but it's like a little blotchy. But like Naomi and Sonya have had every week a consistent segment that tells the story, getting us to where we need to be. And now I just want to see Naomi kick Sonya's ass. Like, I'm like, oh damn, they've done such a good job telling this. And that I think is one thing that is missing from back in the day, because a lot of the women, even if it wasn't with another woman, like Stacey had storylines with the men, like there were things going on that told, I think, a better story overall. I feel like a lot of the women now are kind of like, and even for the men too, from what I've seen, the storyline writing is a little weird. But it's just, I just miss those like consistent storylines and segments every week where that told the story and made sense. So,
you know, back in the Divas era, it seemed like we saw a lot more powerful managers. We saw Melina, we saw Jillian with JBL for a while. These managers made the men look better. They added to the character. Do we miss seeing these female managers within the WWE now? We had Zelina for a while, but we haven't really had anyone else.
I love managers. One of my all-time favorite performers is Stacey Keibler. In-ring veteran? Probably not. But like she would manage her ass off. Her with the Dudleys was the only time I liked the Dudleys. Because like she would like get involved, like she would like play like her part. And like, I mean, like sometimes it was like weird where like they'd like spank her. But like I liked that what she did her thing, and she was like a great manager. And there were so many other women who like Melina. I've said this on other podcasts before. I feel like the most successful women back in the day were the ones who started off as managers, like Chyna, Lita, Trish, you know, like the women who had that opportunity to learn and develop and grow their characters, I think went on to a better career long term, because you knew who they were. They had the opportunity to establish themselves with the men, who honestly more people were probably paying attention to at that time. So when they would get involved in the ring and do their own thing, you were like, oh shit, yeah, I like this person. Yeah, they were doing that before. So I think that's one thing that's really missing now. Zelina is one of my personal favorites, just because we had that opportunity to get to know her more as a manager. And she was a manager who was hands-on, which I love. Like, I don't want an Amy Zidian manager who just stands there. Like, I want a manager who, like, does her part, attacks, has fun with it. So, but it's one thing that is essentially missing. I don't think everyone needs to be a manager. I'm sorry, don't need to be a wrestler. I think it can lead to a... Like, look at Lana. She was fine being a manager. She did not need to be a wrestler.
But I think... So here's the thing. I think the art of managing is just kind of, like, extinct lately, just in general. But also, like previously I talked about like the balancing act. So like back in Diva's day, we were focusing a lot on the sexualization, femininity. So, you know, like women supporting men. So there's maybe a lot of the managers were flourishing. But now after women's revolution, we were focusing a lot on the athletic parts, so maybe they looked down upon women that were managing. You know, that's maybe not the role that they were trying to push. So again, I think we are trying to find a balance in between. And hopefully that means we will see more managers and be fine with that, right?
Thank you, DS and Jake, for joining me to discuss the WWE Divas era, such an important part of the women's history within World Wrestling Entertainment. Where can the people keep up with you guys on social media?
You can find me on Instagram, DS Shin, and on Twitter, Ring the Bell DS, and on YouTube, Ring the Bell. And you can see me and all our beautiful co-hosts talk about wrestling all the time.
Instagram at Jake, not Jacob Smith. And you can follow me on Twitter at Jake isn't Jacob. My name is not Jacob for those following along. And you can also check out Golden Era Podcast every week on all podcast platforms.